News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
We are broadcasting live from the Strand Hotel in Limerick City today, and we have been talking right throughout the morning about the need to develop Limerick. To discuss this in further detail, I'm joined in studio, here in the hotel, by John Moran, former Secretary General at the Department of Finance. Morning, John.
Good morning, and thanks a million.
Before we kind of get in maybe to the nitty and gritty of Limerick and how maybe what you've learned here could be used in other cities as well, give us the broad pitch for people who kind of say, look, Ireland's a small country, a car doesn't need two engines. You know, why develop? Why focus resources away from Dublin?
Okay, it's a rather simple principle, and it applies in either big cities or small countries, which is if you put all your eggs in one basket, then basically you run the risk that as you grow, that in effect things get too expensive. So the way I've explained this, rather than using eggs, take the eggs to a restaurant, right? We have one restaurant in the whole country to feed everybody. What happens as we get a bit more money, as we become more prosperous, as we have more people, the queues outside that restaurant become even bigger and bigger, right? So what we've been doing effectively for the last 10, sort of, you know, effectively 5 decades probably, is actually trying to grow that restaurant bigger and bigger, adding more space, putting in more tables, the queues get longer and longer, and it's this inevitable problem that we're not going to catch up, right? The people working in that restaurant are getting a worse deal because they only have one employer. They've nowhere else to go. The people trying to queue up, the guy running it or the woman running it, are probably increasing the prices and the standards going down. That's what's happening in our country at the moment in Dublin. The opposite way of dealing with that problem is to have different restaurants. So as soon as you see that there's a growth, you have a second restaurant, you have a third restaurant. And in effect, what that means is the employers have to keep quality up so we remain competitive. The employees have choices, so they remain with bargaining power. And more importantly, as the queues get longer outside one, you build a fourth one. Now, the real dilemma in Ireland is this political decision about, do you consider those two restaurants to be Belfast and Dublin? Do you consider them to be Limerick and Dublin? Or even do you have three restaurants and we add Cork and we add Waterford and others? And there are some very important political and social choices. Because if we keep all of our restaurants on the East Coast, then effectively we forget all the people in the West. And we develop this massive inequality between the two sides of our country. And what happens is as places decline in the Midlands and in the West, they become cheaper. People who can't afford the restaurant in Dublin are now actually buying houses in the Midlands and with ridiculous commutes into Dublin.
Okay, so let's say we buy into that idea that we need to invest in a new restaurant. If Limerick is to be it, to what extent is that happening at the moment? Because we mentioned the view we have out here, and actually just over Shane's shoulder you can see it. One of the, I suppose, the big success stories of Limerick 2030, which is the International Gardens. It's all lit up there in Henry Street, and they're getting their first new tenants in the first while. And I was talking to someone yesterday that described Limerick 2030 as a game changer. Is there enough happening in Limerick at the moment for it to develop into that second city?
Well, as you know, I grew up in Limerick, right? So I grew up in Limerick in the 80s, and if I was being really honest, there are lots of places one could live in the world, and I wouldn't have chosen Limerick in probably the 80s, 90s. I worked here for a while. In the 90s, I left again. Now I'm in the process of changing that. This city has a momentum behind it that actually, despite all the choices of places to live, I've now grown to love living here. And as I said last night in a tweet, at one level, the problem is the secret is out, right? Other people have understood that. This morning I came down here, I walked for less than 5 minutes, changing your schedule. I was able to get here on time, and I didn't have to worry about the commute because I was walking. There were no uncertainties in the process. When I'm in Dublin going to go to your studio, I have to worry, does the bus actually stop? Does it like keep going? I leave almost a half an hour before I actually need to be in your studio. And that's the type of life that actually more and more people are looking to have.
Yeah, the quality of life argument, right? People will be on board with that, but I suppose what they might say, people who are stuck on, you know, on the N7 or whatever it is at the moment in traffic, will say, that's fine, but my job is in Dublin. This is where the employers are.
And that's where the government comes in, right? So that's where we need the government to actually acknowledge that in the 2040 plan, they have in effect accepted this. The advice of the experts is to do this. It's to grow the other cities. And as you mentioned earlier about the small towns, if you're in a small town in Ireland, and this is the thing I've been saying, is not to beat down on rural Ireland. It is that a small town within proximity of Waterford or proximity of Galway is much better served by that city growing than trying to grow all the towns at the same time, because the alternative at the moment is they have to go to Dublin, which is too far to be economically and socially important. But the government has a huge opportunity here now as it tries to grow a country which has got a million more population coming in, to actually move government services out of Dublin. I can't think of one major government service which is actually not in Dublin at the moment. The Liver Centre is there, the Cancer Centre is there, the Special Criminal Court is there. You could keep going. And a lot of these things...
Yes, literally, the military in the Curragh is probably the only one that's headquartered outside Dublin, is it?
Possibly, but the Department of Defence is actually is in Dublin, yeah. Right? The Garda headquarters are in Dublin in some of the most expensive real estate. And a lot of these services, we forget that, and I think this is where the change is coming, is that the cities like Galway and Limerick and Cork and Waterford have actually woken up to their new reality, and they're starting to combine with each other. And that's incredibly important. And Kilkenny, as you know, because you keep reminding me about it, won't get forgotten in this, because, again, one of the things I've suggested is this road, and I'm not a big fan of roads, as people know, but is actually that we have a circular road in the country from Galway to Dublin, down to Waterford, up to Limerick, and up to Galway. That actually allows almost every part of this part inside that to be within an hour of that road, and every part, including Cork, to be outside it.
Yeah, and look, and Waterford is another city, I think, with huge untapped potential as well. And a vibrant Waterford is great for the Kilkennys and New Ross and Wexford and everything of this world. But look, you've been inside government buildings, you ran the Department of Finance. There'll be people listening who'll think, is John talking about decentralisation there? Like, that was an absolute mess.
Yeah, what I'm talking about is looking forward 50 years, right? And I would actually prefer to call it re-centralisation. You know, in other countries across the world that work well, the Netherlands, even Germany, you have a difference between the main port, the main economic business centre, and the administration centre. So we're not going to move the Dáil to Limerick, right? Mm. Although it probably would be a good idea, because it would give everybody a very different perspective. The civil service has thousands of people in Dublin. So the example I give in terms of moving things around that you can choose our government decisions, we have almost 100,000 new third level places to build in this country. Okay? So why aren't we thinking of stopping the number of third level places that we put in Dublin? Take 100,000 potential beds back into reducing rents in Dublin and everything else, put another university in Limerick, put one down in Waterford, but make it of scale. Add some more in Cork or Galway. Now all of a sudden all these people in these small towns are not trying to work about how do I pay for my kids to go to university in Dublin. They can actually go locally, and the employers come when there's talent.
And you speak to the IDA and others, and they'll say, look, one of the first questions that foreign companies have is there a university in the place that you're trying to convince me to go? Before I let you go, look, I mentioned Limerick 2030. In terms of the national plan, Project Ireland 2040, is that the way to get there? Or is that not far enough?
It is the way to get there, but I know you're going to be talking to Pascal later in the Fiscal Advisory Council and stuff like that, in terms of where, and the way we have to be careful about how we spend money. We're getting extra bonuses at the moment. Somebody's going to work, they've got a salary increase of 4%, but the employer's had a good year, they're giving them a bonus as well. The question is, what do we do with that bonus? Right, the Fiscal Council, which we set up while I was at the department so that we had an independent voice, and I think we need to listen to what they are saying. The Fiscal Council is saying, basically, bank that bonus, put it away for a rainy day. There's, I think, an alternative argument there, that you have to look at whether, in fact, it is better to use that bonus to buy a computer or send your kids to university, or, in fact, even retrain yourself so that if the downturn comes, that you actually end up being better prepared for the future. My problem is at the moment that I think we're spending that bonus on sort of a new telly and stuff like that, right? Which we're just not getting the benefit of. But when we take that bonus, this is going back to the 2040, we should be doing that to build up pilots. We should be transforming Limerick, transforming Cork. €6 million, which is what came from the Urban Redevelopment Fund, it's a start, but it's the cost of doing up 10 Georgian houses. It's not going to change the Dáil.
All right, look, some questions there for Pascal Donoghue, as John says, the Minister for Finance will be joining us before the end of the show.